Friends, and welcome to the show. Well, right now, of course, as you know, we're doing this in April of 2020. We are faced with situations none of us might have envisioned last year, or basically even 3 or 4 months ago. And because many of us are stressed, many of us are in environments now that are relatively unfamiliar, which could be your own home, there's a lot of people that are trying to find other ways to deal with some of that anxiety and stress. Some are doing it through physical activity. They go out and work out. Some people probably are drinking too much. Other people are turning to spirituality. And that's what the topic of today's show is. So there are really, I see, kind of three directions spirituality goes. There's one side that sort of dismisses it. There's a second that packages it into a religious form. And then there's that third area, the area that I call non-traditional spirituality. And I think that is worth looking at today. And when I decided I wanted to explore that, only one person came to mind that could do justice to the topic. And that is my friend Lauren Smith. Now, Lauren is a podcaster. Lauren is an expert in spirituality. And what I wanted her to do is just kind of talk through what that looks like. And you can Google spirituality and you'll see it, but why not talk to somebody whose podcast is really focused on these kinds of things. So I met Lauren years and years ago. Lauren, I have seen transform from somebody who interned for me one summer into somebody who is now, I think, a thought leader when it comes to this topic. So I'm going to let her talk about her background. I'm just going to get out of the way and let her give what she knows best. Some of you listening to this right now are going to turn it off halfway through because you're going to say, well, I don't believe this stuff. It's a bunch of crap. Others of you will listen for maybe 3/4 of it and say, you know, I don't want to talk about this. This goes against my religious beliefs. I'm not preaching anything. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I just think you ought to know what's out there. Lauren will tell you better than anybody else I know. So why don't we quit talking about Lauren? Let's just go ahead and talk to her. So right now, you know what to do if you're listening. You're going to take that personal item, tuck it under the seat in front of you. Make sure that seatbelt is buckled. You know what time it is.
Should the cabin lose pressure, oxygen masks will drop from the overhead area. Please place the mask over your own mouth and nose before assisting others.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast, the show focused on the overworked, overwhelmed, and underappreciated HR professional. And now, here is the host of our show, the Boss Builder, Mac Monroe.
The way that I look at spirituality is that it's kind of like this, I guess you could say it's like a river or something, right? So it flows and then people try to capture it, right? So some people will capture their spirituality and they'll put it into like a jar and we'll call it religion. And so there's the jar that might have Christianity. And so there's a deity and there's a holy book, there's the Bible. And then there's a set of practices that you do. Or some may dip the jar in there and they come up and it's the Jewish one. So they have the Talmud and they have Passover. And then there's the Muslims. They stick the jar in there and it's Allah and the Quran and their practices and their pilgrimages. And so there's like that piece of spirituality. I put it into a jar and put a label on it. And then there are the people that don't even hold a spirituality. They might look at things scientifically, but then there's this third realm. And that's the, what I guess I would call, and I'm going to have you clarify, like non-traditional spirituality. And so I've listened to your podcast and you talk about things that, you know, people that normally think about religion would look at that and say, oh, no, I don't want to get involved in that. But then there's also sort of the Eastern religions, right? And with those, where we start to see things like meditation and yoga and all that. So I guess my question, Lauren, this other realm, and I've got some words that just sort of come to mind that I'm curious about, things like astrology, numerology, things like that. How close are they to an Eastern religion? Are they a religion? And where is that line drawn in the sand? Is that a clear question?
Yeah, that is a clear question. I think the line is, to me anyway, kind of blurry, right? So one of my mentors, Sheryl Turner, had actually said to me that you can meet a religious person who is not spiritual, and you can meet a spiritual person who is not religious. And to me, I was like, okay, so what is spirituality then, right? Like that, like this is like the defining question. And I think it's something that looks different for everyone. But what I believe it is just a sense of connection to something bigger than ourselves. So it also typically kind of puts in this whole seeking or searching for the meaning of life, or the searching for more answers. What's our purpose? Like, how does this all work? And a large part of spirituality is also for me believing that I am spirit first. I have a soul, and I am having a human experience right now. And it's so interesting that through so many different people I've talked to, especially on the podcast, I've had ministers on there. I've had an interfaith minister, and I didn't know that there was even such thing at the time as an interfaith minister. And she opened my eyes and she said, you know, if you were born in the United States, and I was born into a religious family who followed Christianity, but had I been born in India, I likely would have followed Hindu or Buddhism. So it's, you know, we kind of needed these, what they're called ascended masters, which would be like Jesus and Buddha, to lay the groundwork of just bringing people to more awareness and light. So if we think of spirituality at the end of the day, it's being connected to yourself, knowing that there's something bigger than yourself. And you can say whatever it is. Some people may say it's God. Some people may say it's the universe. I kind of interchange the two. But just knowing that there's something bigger than you outside of it, and then searching for the answer in all different ways. Yeah, so it's just something bigger within ourselves. And, you know, it requires that searching for more of a meaning of life. And, you know, I always say that I'm spirit first, and I'm having a human experience per se. So it's a term that everyone kind of gets to by themselves and defines it for themselves. But it's just, I think, knowing that we always have choice within ourselves, and really getting to know ourselves is one part of spirituality. But then seeking the answers to whatever the bigger question is in life. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Who is God? You know, like just questioning and not being so married to your beliefs too. Like, you have to kind of step outside the box of what you've been told for so long and actually question, does that make sense? Does that resonate to me? Can I kind of walk in a different direction? And does that feel better to me as well?
That's I think where a lot of people are at. And I think a lot of people that hit a certain age start to think back on that. What have I always believed? I remember an article probably 3 or 4 years ago. It was in CNN, and it was a family who became atheists. And they said that it was just a matter of, they started to just go back and question things that they've always believed, but down deep inside they thought, does this really make sense? And that completely shifted that. So I think everybody's on a journey. Now, I want you to take us back to your journey, because Lauren, you were born on a Hindu plantation in India, right?
You would think so, right? Like, there was, you would think that like I would have like this like crazy, crazy life. But yeah, being brought up in a Christian background and having, yeah. So I wasn't always an open-minded spiritual. I grew up in a religious home. We went to church every Sunday morning and youth group every Sunday night. And I vividly remember around the age of 10 or 11, just beginning to ask more questions. Like, I would ask questions to my pastor that he couldn't answer for me. And I realized that most of the adults around me could not answer these questions to no fault of their own. You know, like, we only know what we know in that moment. And being real, I think the questions that I was asking just probably pushed their own knowledge and beliefs and were, you know, things that they had no idea. But about 5 years ago, I was really introduced to these concepts of law of attraction and manifestation and energy healing, mostly through the clients that I was working with. But my eyes weren't really fully open to what that whole realm kind of entailed. You know, I was kind of just dipping my toes in the water. And then I had my own, we'll call it dark night of the soul moment. You know, like when you've reached that pit of life and you're having that, oh, oh God, like, please show me what I'm supposed to do next. You know, you just feel so lost. And I realized in that moment that my career wasn't really fulfilling me. I knew I went to help people, didn't really know what that looked like. You know, I was having this whole transformation process. And they always say when the student's ready, the teacher appears. Well, a couple months after having this realization, I had met the woman who became one of my spiritual teachers and mentors. And she just really helped me pull back the layers of spirituality and dig deeper into myself and, you know, question my own beliefs. And these were beliefs that were beyond religion and spirituality. They were beliefs that I had about, you know, my own mindset, beliefs about money, beliefs that I had about the opposite gender, you know. So these were like deep layering beliefs about, you know, self-awareness. And I didn't even know that I had this depth to me. And I, you know, through her teachings and workings, I started to do my own inner work and kind of get lost in the sauce of all these different modalities and tools. And then I start helping others do the same as well. And I fell into, I would say numerology is probably the first thing that I fell into. And I know you wanted to kind of talk on some of these terms.
Yeah, yes.
Numbers, I think so many people pay attention to numbers. And it's said that numbers have their own vibrational energy. And people, I mean, far back as Socrates, were really focused on numbers. And a lot of people say that a certain number kind of follows them or a sequence follows them. For me, it was the number 11. And when I was in Prague, I brought this up to Sheryl, who's now my spiritual teacher. And she was like, oh, you know that 11 is a master number. And like starts telling me these things. I'm like, what? No, you know, 11 is just 11. It's two ones next to each other. So I start to just learn more about numerology and how that and actually astrology go hand in hand because they each are unique blueprints. So astrology is the blueprint of where the stars and planets were when you were born, the exact time that you were born, the location of where you were born. But numerology is the studies of numbers within your life. And for the most part, numerology uses the cardinal numbers 1 through 9 with a few other additions of what's called a master number. So those are 11, 22, 33, and sometimes 44. So we have these number formations. And I don't know if you remember like from way back at school, Pythagorean theorem, but you can actually match up a letter with a number. So we add all these up, we break it down to an even number, and then we have different numbers that give us what's called our life path number. So that's very similar to like what our sun sign would be in astrology. Then we also have destiny numbers and karmic numbers, and these all kind of tell a story about us. And it's not just one number. When numerologist Felicia Bender first pulled a full numerology report for me, I didn't even realize so many numbers. You know, like she like broke down what my middle name was and my first name and like all these different things. And I'm reading about it and I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. And of course, it could fit other people who maybe have the same energy as me, or maybe their name has the same vibrations. But to find an identical chart is probably not very likely. Felicia had been doing this for over a decade and had told me she had not seen a chart like mine because mine has so many number nines in it. And 9 is the number of spirituality and teaching. And she was like, if you ever need a confirmation of what you should be doing, it's right here in your numerology report. And, you know, a lot of times too, when I'm asking for guidance on something, I'll pay attention. You know, so many times I'm, and this is what I'm told, you know, from all spiritual teachers, is that we're always getting message from spirit. And spirit can be what spirit is our angels. So guardian angels. Maybe it is a past loved one. And that's a little bit different than a guardian angel. So a past loved one, or maybe it's an archangel, or maybe it's just the universe. However you want to describe it, maybe it's God. But if I'm asking for guidance or, you know, I want to pay attention to something, I will pay attention to the numbers that are following me. So like the other day, like 777 was showing up everywhere. You know, it was on the bottom of my receipt. I looked at something on my computer and there was a 777 in it. And I was like, what does 777 mean? You know, why does this keep coming up? And I looked and it was basically confirming a question I had asked. And it was about like spiritual teaching, like if I should be doing something. And it was confirming, saying like, your angels are saying like, yes, this is the confirmation you've been looking for. Like, continue down that path. And while it may not be big or significant, it was just that little nudge that I needed. So numbers are everywhere, and how we choose to see them and kind of put that puzzle piece together is up to us. But if you're noticing a number pattern, it's super easy to just even type it in Google and just say, you know, like, what does 111 mean? Or what does 123 mean? I keep seeing it, and you will find a load of information about what each sequence means.
So how does that line up with astrology, or are those like two different things, or can they be used in conjunction?
Oh, so I use them in conjunction all the time, but they're definitely two different things. So one of my favorite ways I think numerology was described was that it's astrology's practical sister. So we can think of them as sisters. They're definitely not twins. They are two different things, but they kind of house the same motives behind them, right? So we said that numerology is, of course, all about numbers and 1 through 9, but astrology is more than just horoscopes. I know that that's what people believe. They hear astrology and they're like, oh, my horoscope. No, it's right. So much different. It's so much deeper than that even. I would love for people to just break up with that belief about astrology right now, because the more you get into it, you realize that there are equations to it. And it's so much deeper. And a little crazy tip, and this is like so wild, but J.P. Morgan was actually quoted saying that billionaires use astrology. And I actually learned this on the History Channel, that Hitler had many astrologers, but he would use astrology in a dark way, right? He wanted to know what planets were moving in different ways to help manipulate people's emotions, and use different scare tactics and fear mongering. And any astrologer that would not work with him to do their work in the dark, because most astrologers want to use this as a tool to help people, right? And do things for good, he would kill them. So if you're kind of now in modern day, people are like, oh, astrology writing off as nothing. But then you see these powerful people throughout history who have used this as a tool. So I think we kind of have to separate astrology into two different buckets. So we have our own individual birth chart. So that's like taking the screenshot of the stars at the exact moment that you were born. So that birth chart supports various aspects of our personalities, our strengths, our weaknesses, even our physical features. And it really just helps us put together parts of our destiny and overall human landscape. So most people know their sun sign. I'm a Capricorn, Mac. I think you're an Aries, right? You just mm-hmm. had a birthday.
That's so, right. So your sun sign is like the things we see on the horoscope, right?
Yeah. Most people know that because the sun takes, you know, 28, 30 days to like move through that full cycle, right? Like the sun is moving through the cycle. And back then you have to think of it like they weren't using months. They were tracking the skies by the astrology signs. So we have 12 astrology signs just like we have 12 months. So we can think of them that way, even though they don't line up like May 1st to May, you know, 31st. That's not how they flow, but it's kind of the same essence. So anyone born under that, really easy to know, because you don't have to know the exact time that you were born. The thing that we also have to figure out with our sun sign is that's our basic identity. So it's really our ego. You know, I'm sure you've met someone else who is also an Aries and you're like, this person is nothing like me. You know, like astrology is crap. This person's also an Aries. We couldn't be any more different. Well, that's because it's not only where the sun was when you were born. It's where the moon was. It's where Venus was. It's where Pluto was. All these different planets help paint this picture. And those are all in different areas based off the exact time that you were born. Because we have some planets that move really slow and other planets that move really fast. And also we have the moon. So like the moon is changing its phase, you know, every day and a half or 2 days. So, you know, my moon was in Virgo, but had it been maybe an hour, if I had been born an hour or two later, the moon could have been in Libra. So it can change signs pretty quickly. But
let me ask you something real quick. So what if I was to find someone who was born at the exact, like I found my, I mean, not a twin, because twins are not born at the same time. But what if I found somebody who had the exact same birth time and day and year as me? Would it be possible that we would be pretty much alike, or are there other factors with that?
So if you were born at the exact same place as well, so you would have to be born at the exact same time, the exact same, at least like town, you know what I mean? Because if you were born at the exact same time, but they were born in China, then it wasn't really the exact same time, you know, like it could have been. So, you know, so it's a little different. So the location and the time also play in hand in hand as well.
I guess the chances would be pretty slim then, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like it's pretty slim. I mean,
the moms would have to go into labor and like have the same, I don't know, whatever you say, when like, you push, whatever, contractions, right?
Yeah, literally the exact same time. And it's funny because some astrologers say, you know, well, what is your first moment of life? Is it when, you know, like you're crowning and you're like, your head is literally out? Like, is that when you're born? Or is it when the doctors finally turn around and they document your time? You know, so some people, and then of course, like my mom's like, I have no idea when I was born. Like, I have no idea what time I was born. I don't even think that was documented. So some astrologers then have to do what's called rectifying your chart. And they'll ask you different questions about yourself to kind of help you pinpoint the time that you were born. And that's not to say it's exact, but like it gives you a better estimate if you really have no idea what time you were born. And the reason for that, of even wanting to know that, is because of, I would say there's three main signs that you should know. So we all know our sun sign for the most part. Mm-hmm. The other one would be your moon sign, where the moon was, and your ascendant. So your sun sign is that basic identity, but your moon sign is your inner emotions. So it's your inner instincts and your habits. And it's almost like that person within you that no one really knows. You know, it's like even the people very, very closest to you, like they know you probably better than other people, but you know that you know yourself the most. That's part of your moon sign. So if your sun is your head, then the moon is your heart. That's the way I like to look at it.
Okay.
And then we also have what's called a rising sign. So your rising sign is also known as your ascendant. And this is the one that changes very quickly depending on the day that you were born. So your ascendant sign, I think it changes like every 90 minutes to 2 hours throughout the day. But this is actually the one that most people identify with the most. So although I am a Capricorn sun sign, most people are like, no, you're not a Capricorn, because Capricorn in astrology is like stern and structured. And that's not me. I have those tendencies to me, but for the most part, when people meet me, they're like, oh, you're outgoing and you're bubbly. Well, my rising sign is Libra. And that actually represents what the Libra is. So your ascendant is how you appear to others. It's the first impression that people get from you. And it's also your outwardly style. So you can see how people may see you and you may be like, okay, well, I'm not an Aries. But if we found out your rising sign, and maybe you even read your horoscope for that, or, you know, got a better scope, you know, detail outline of your rising sign, you may identify with that a little bit more. My moon is in Virgo, and Virgo is a little bit more meticulous, and they like structure and order. I can get a little bit crazy when the house is a mess, right? Like I really like things to be clean and organized. So it's not something that you would know about me from an outwardly style, but that is like my inner emotion, and that's how I like things to be structured. So all these different things kind of help us paint the picture to it. So we have that personal chart, and we always have things that are happening to us. So, you know, the planets are always moving. So day to day, different things may be happening in our unique lives based on what the planets are doing today. But then we have this whole separate jar. So we have our individual jars, but then we have this jar that we'll call, that's for the general energies of the collective. So everyone in the world. And we know these energies based off of things like the full moon and Mercury retrograde. Those are like two things that always get thrown around, I feel like. Just like in the full moon, people are, what people say are, you know, you're more crazy. Well, if we go back to what your moon sign was, and it's your inner emotions, and if the moon cycles affect our emotions, then yeah, maybe we may be a little bit more lunatic, because of course the word lunar comes from lunatic. We may be a little bit more lunar sensitive. And then Mercury retrograde, we hear about that one a lot. That's when Mercury seemingly rotates backwards in the sky. It doesn't really, but Mercury is in control of communication. So about two or three times a year, we have what's called Mercury retrograde, and things happen. You know, people buy cars during that time and they're lemons, or, you know, a lot of communication breakdown happens at that time. So we have general and collective energies that happen for everyone, no matter what your personal birth chart looks like. And there's a whole breakdown of this on my podcast. So it might be best that if this piques someone's interest, they hear it from an astrologer who breaks it down. But there's been numerous planetary alignments that have already happened in 2020 that support COVID-19 and all of its craziness. Like, some astrologers have broken it down that we had this certain planetary alignment with Saturn and Pluto. And Pluto kind of like destroys and transforms. And Saturn's all about structure. And they met up for the first time in the sign of Capricorn, which is all about old and reform. So, like, you know, you got to think of, like, our government, it would fall under like the sign of Capricorn. The last time that they had met up together apparently was back when the AIDS pandemic happened, but it happened in the sign of Libra, and Libra rules intercourse. So the last time that they had happened, I think back, it was like in the sign of Capricorn, it happened when Martin Luther was like, the whole assassination happened like in the 1500s. And there was like a reformed part of religion and all that, like, that's a whole different rabbit hole. But astrologers have been able to see, like, when these certain planets meet together, we have things that repeat themselves throughout history. So for the past, in 2019, numerous astrologers were like, 2020 is going to be crazy. Like, it's going to be crazy. We're not really sure what's going to happen, right? Like, you can tell off of history, but you can't pin. It's not like they were like, okay, COVID-19 is going to happen, the fall of the economy. Although many, many astrologers did say that there would be a fall of the economy by March of 2020. And hedge fund billionaire Ray Dalio actually this is all hearsay, so I shouldn't even say this is fact, but he did, by fact, make $1 billion, what's called a bet against the stock market, that it would fall by March of 2020. And he did that back in July. And so many people have said, well, yeah, it's because he has an astrologer. Because who else makes a $1 billion bet against the stock market? Unless you have some sort of something to give you that inclination. So a lot of people have said, well, yeah, you know, if you listen to an astrologer, they've been saying this for the past year. So it's just interesting how history repeats itself, and the planetary alignments support those historical events.
So then I guess the question is, Lauren, if astrologers have this insight, what keeps people, other than a Ray Dalio, from actually looking for people like this versus maybe an economist or somebody else?
Well, I mean, it's said that most elite people do have an astrologer. I've actually been really interested to learn that there are a lot of government officials who have astrologers.
Well, I think even Ronald Reagan toward the end, that was where they were saying he lost his mind. But I had heard the same thing.
Yeah. I was actually one of the women that I know that teaches astrology. She has a couple elite clients. And they use it for even smallest business things of when should I launch my business? When should I not launch my business? You know, so sometimes it's small decisions that are really methodical and can pay off big. So I think that it happens behind the scenes a little bit more than we're told. A really good astrologer, Christina Caudill, once said to me, you know, well, why would they teach this in school? Like, we would be too powerful. We would have all the answers. Well, I guess you got a point,
yeah. If we could predict, and then I think, like you said, that, you know, a person like Hitler wants to use this for the dark side. Mm. So it's, yeah, maybe it's best that only a few people have an insight. But yeah. I guess, you know, the more I hear you talk about this, the more I'm just amazed at sort of your transformation. And I've listened to your podcast. I listened to most episodes. And at first I was like, well, I don't know if I want to listen to that. But I think that was the one that kind of got me really interested was the one, because I was driving to Memphis when I was listening to it. It was the lady that did, you can like log into her website and she can print up if you have your birth number and hour. What was her name again?
That was, I think, Natasha Weber. I think that's,
I think she was Australian or something, right? Yeah. And I thought, okay, that clarifies. And a lot of the terms I didn't remember, like the, you know, retrograde and all these different words. But for me, that was the first time I had ever really looked at it differently. So, I mean, I can honestly say if my mom was listening to this podcast right now, she'd be like, oh my God, my son's into satanic.
Yes.
You know, and then, you know, because I mean, one time I said something, she says, you've become a Democrat, as if that was like you have AIDS or something. I said, right. No, Ma, but I think for a lot of people, it takes a shift in our normal routines to make people start to reach out. And so, you know, I've kind of watched the church crowd have sort of, and I guess because I live in the South here, so every church is not meeting except for a few rebels, but everybody's got their signs out front with different, you know, trust in the Lord. And so I think everybody's looking for something.
Yeah.
And I know that religion is not for everybody. And I do think even people who are just would not consider themselves spiritual or looking for some sort of answer in science. But the bottom line is, I don't think anybody is capable right now of handling these kinds of things just by themselves or with their traditional resources. So I did think that this would be a really good time to do a podcast like this, really, because now this is where people are, in many cases, at rock bottom. They're not doing well. And you know, the audience for this one, so we've done, I think, one other one on HR Oxygen. I mean, this is for the HR person who's just really stressed out, and many of them are locked down with, you know, young children at home. And that alone is enough to make a person like start questioning, why am I here? But I mean, it's amazing to hear your journey. And in your journey, as I listened, there was a couple of things that really stood out to me that I was really intrigued by. And I want to hear your story about it again. But we talked about these things called past lives. So we look at astrology and numerology as a way to sort of make sense of what's going on. But then there's other pieces of spirituality. And I had Visa Shanmugam on my show. I think you had her on yours too.
Yes. Her episode launches soon.
Yeah. She was great. I really liked that. And so I had just kind of kicked the tire on past lives. I'd done it with you when we had talked about that. And I asked her about it. And so she said, oh yeah, she was really interested. And so she recommended a book. I don't remember the name of the author, but it was Many Lives, Many Masters. And I actually listened to that book when I was on my last road trip before the pandemic. And it was just fascinating to think about past lives and, you know, how, you know, it's human beings that put a constraint on the world, like time, you know, thousands of years ago, nobody had a watch. And so what is our reality in terms of a bigger picture? So talk to us, Lauren, about past lives. And if you would be so brave, I want you to share that incident that happened with you in the castle.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, I think I've had a couple past life flashbacks throughout my life. One of the very first ones that I started having actually came through in a dream. And it was that I'm always blowing up, or something like a gas station is blowing up or catching on fire every time I'm pumping gas or I'm walking out of a gas station. And it was interesting because when I was having my birth chart read, I brought this up, and I, you know, I was just like, is this a past life thing? And Pluto, the planet that rules death and transformation, it was at, I think it was in a place in my chart where it supported death by fire or something. She's like, oh, well, you definitely could have had death by fire in a past life. Like, astrology supports this. But when I was in Prague, I think this was probably one of, and my whole fire things always happened in dreams. So it was never like having this flashback moment. But when I was in Prague, we were staying at a palace, and that just still feels so surreal to me to even say, but we were staying at a palace on behalf of our client, and he was taking us on a tour, and he was telling us, you know, we're like walking through the palace grounds, and he's like, oh, you know, Beethoven was here for a long time and he conducted, and we're walking down the palace stairs. And as I'm walking, like, I have this flashback of me walking down palace stairs, but I was younger, like maybe a teenager or so. And I turned to my friend Sheryl, and I was like, I've been here before. I was a royal. Like, I was so convinced I lived a royal life. And then while I was talking to Julie Ryan, the medical intuitive who also does past life scans, she just random, like, I'm telling her this, and she's like, I get that you've spent 17 lifetimes in Prague. Well, what I didn't tell Julie in that moment was, in Prague, I had met my spiritual mentor, Sheryl. That's where we had first met. But also, 17 is the number that follows Sheryl. Like, Julie would not have known that. So to me, it was confirmation. You know, it was like, that was a turning point in my life, Prague in itself. I clearly met the person I was supposed to meet to help me grow and advance spiritually and the next part of my life. And you just confirmed it by saying the number that follows her, you know? So I was just like, whoa. So past lives from, I think there's so many different wormholes that we could kind of go down in past lives. But from what I understand from talking to all the different experts and even just doing my own research, is we've lived many past lives. And a lot of times, what our mission here on Earth right now in this moment is, it's a result of our past life and the mission that we are supposed to carry through from our past life. Julie Ryan had said this really cool story of, she was helping a CEO of like a Fortune 500 company who was very ill, and he had always been in power, and he was terminally ill. And of course, when you're terminally ill, what do you have to do? You have to seek help from other people. They have to be your caretakers. And he had questioned her. He's like, you know, why am I going through this? Like, what is this life trying to teach me? And they had done a past life regression, and they had found that he had always been a person of power who had always had trouble accepting help, and that his mission in this lifetime was to receive help from others, like, because he had not been able to fully get that in his other lifetimes. So therefore, he was terminally ill to help him learn how to receive aid from others. Kind of a sick and twisted way to look at it, like, if that's your mission in life, but we don't get to choose our path. And Wayne Dyer said it really cool one time, that he knew before his spirit, you know, met his body, he said he probably had this conversation with God, being like, all right, God, in this lifetime, I want to learn emotional resilience. And God was probably like, are you sure about that? And he's like, yeah. You know, like, I really want to learn emotional resilience. I want to teach it. Like, this is what I want to do. I like emotional resilience all day long. And, you know, he's like, and I want people, like, part of that was being self-reliant, because you can't be emotionally resilient if you're not emotionally reliant on yourself, like self-reliant. So the best way, he's like, so what did God do? He placed me in an orphanage. He was like, because how else are you to be emotionally resilient and self-reliant if you aren't first given those heartaches and those traumas first? And I really thought about that in my own journey. And I was like, man, what has my journey taught me so far in this moment? And interestingly enough, I listened to that video on my 32nd birthday. I was supposed to be doing a whole slew of other things that morning. And I instead found myself attracted to this video. And I sat and I reflected, and I was like, well, I think I've been through everything I've gone through to help other people heal. And that's all I could get down to. And about 45 minutes after that, when my best friend's husband sent me a message letting me know that my best friend was pregnant at the time. She was 7 months pregnant, that she had lost her baby. Oof. And I couldn't help but to have that. I had this aha moment about my purpose and helping other people heal at the time that I did, right before one of my friends would need a mass amount of healing aid. And so it was like one of those full circle moments, you know? And so it was like that. I'm not 100% sure that's my purpose in life, but it feels right to me. And it's all of my past lives kind of support it. I've done like past life regressions, and it's like one of my past lives, I was a nurse, which is so interesting to me because I'm not a blood and guts person in general. Like, I will not be that person in this current life to be able to be a nurse. But what is a nurse? A nurse is a healer. So I've taken on that same role in this lifetime in a different way, in a different form. And I think in one of my past lives, it said I had a really hard time having children, or that I couldn't have children. And so it was important for me in this lifetime to work with mothers specifically. So I thought that was interesting too.
I guess if you are really tuned in and paying attention, it helps make sense out of a lot of things. And I don't know whether the average listener today is somebody who's that interested, but I think if a person really wants to know, I think they're going to find the answers. And to me, that's just fascinating to hear your stories. But the fact that you're actually paying attention and you're tuned into it, when you think about past lives, is it possible that, like, let's just say this is your current life and you decided, I mean, I don't think you have a decision. I don't know. But I mean, let's say that the last life you have, you were like almost at the perfect you. And this one, you're like, shit,
yeah,
I don't feel like it. And could you, I mean, so let's think about it like a Hitler. We've talked about him. Mm. Is it possible that he comes back several times to kind of cure the problems that he's got? Or maybe he was like a saint and then he said, in this life, I just want to be really bad for a change. I mean, I don't know if you know the answer to that. I'm just curious.
So I think that's a good question. It's definitely something I've thought as well. From my understanding, we can only ascend. So we can only get better. That doesn't mean that we didn't start off as like Hitler. And then now we've ascended.
I guess you can only go up from there, right?
Exactly. And that's why a lot of people, and this is like totally like goes back to a religion thing. But I think Christianity is actually one of the only religions that believes that there's a hell. And that's because the other religions believe that you can only go up. Like there is only a certain point. So even in all religions, we have those ascended masters, and they are called ascended masters because like someone like Jesus or Buddha, they were real people who walk the earth, but they were so highly ascended in their purpose, right? So like it was almost like they were untouchable. They were doing, you know, God's work. So that would be someone who, because they were ascended master, they probably wouldn't reincarnate as their same self or like come back in another life as that same thing, unless they were already like a high spiritual person. I think I guess it's in Buddhism. I'm not like very hip on my religion knowledge, so please don't take it as fact. But mm-hmm. I know that there's many times they say that the same spirit reincarnates into a different body. So then there will be children who are like 6 years old and they start being trained to be a monk because it was, they're saying that it was the spirit of so-and-so from 100 years ago. So then like that child is then groomed to already be a monk because they can't just be a normal child, you know, like you are who you are type of thing. So breaking your contract can be like a whole different thing. So my understanding on that too is, if you came to Earth and your purpose was to do X, Y, and Z, but you defaulted on that through, because we're still humans, we still have choice, right? Like nothing is ever set in stone. You can default on that. And a lot of people do default on what's called like their soul contract. But you can also see in moments in life when you are very awakened to your purpose of how many times you've missed the exit. So I knew, like, I know I'm supposed to use my voice. There have been so many times I missed my exit to use my voice in a professional way. Like the very first time is I had a radio interview at, you probably remember it, Mac, 106.9 The Eagle in Maryland. I had, I was going to work for a DJ there because I wanted to be in radio. But I had a really crappy boyfriend at the time who kind of steered me away from it. So I missed my path. Then the second time it was brought up to me again in college to be on a radio show. But then at that point, I got pregnant with my daughter, Skylar, and I was like, I can't be a new mom and work at a radio. You know, I was like, I can't do this. I miss my path. So the path then came back to me in numerous ways, from voiceovers to doing podcasting. And now that I'm on my path, it all makes sense. So I think sometimes like life does give us those, but we make that choice to either keep driving on the highway or take the exit.
Well, I can only say, you know, we were introduced when you were back in high school, I think, or just in college maybe. And, you know, to see where you have come since then, and every time I listen to an episode of your podcast, I'm like, God, she is really, I mean, and you're already at what, episode 100 plus now, right?
Yeah, I think.
I always had you in my rearview mirror. I'm like, shoot, she's going to catch me. And then boom, you know, you're way off in the distance now. But the guests that you have on your show and the insights that you provide, even when you ask them questions. I mean, that's the big reason I wanted to have you on the show again, because I think now this is a time where people are really seeking and they're really looking for something that maybe they're not finding in science or maybe they're not finding in church. And I think from what you explain this, it seems like it's almost like the purest form of spirituality by tuning into these things. And so, Lauren, I'm going to wind this down, but I want to ask you, first of all, how do we find your podcast?
Yeah. So
I know how to find it because I know you, but for everybody else. And then secondly, I want you to talk to us about this new venture that you're doing now. We talked a little bit beforehand, and you're actually now, it's almost like you were this barrel that people poured themselves into. Now you've tapped the side of it, and now you are offering help and services. So what does that look like? How do we find you? How do we find that?
Yeah, absolutely. So my podcast, Master Your Mind, Business and Life, is available wherever you're probably listening to this podcast, but Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or you can go to mindbizlife.com and listen to it from the website. And yeah, you're right. I am starting a new venture. So I have launched Spiritually Seeking. And there will be a podcast to kind of come along with this. COVID-19 has kind of put a little bit of a wrench in my plans on that, but it's still coming. But I am offering all things, you know, spiritual and life guidance and numerology report. So if you want to go down that rabbit hole and get a full detailed report, but I'll also be launching some things on astrology as well. So you know, no matter where you are in your journey, whether you are just dipping your toes into this or you're a little bit more advanced, or even if you are religious, I don't even want to steer people away who are religious. I think that these tools are more about self-awareness and, you know, sharpening your intuition, because at the end of the day, the person that, you know, you have to look in the mirror at is yourself, and being confident in yourself and owning your power and just really knowing yourself on a deep level has more power than I think anything. And these modalities really help you tap into it and express your intuition more. And you can find all of that information on spiritually-seeking.com. There is a dash in between the two. And I also have all of that linked on my social media, and I'm everywhere at Lauren Smith Biz.
Awesome. Well, Lauren, thank you for taking time out of your day, your practice, and, you know, all the things you're wrestling with too, to give us some new perspectives and for many of us, a new sense of hope and excitement. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, Mac.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the HR Oxygen Podcast. We hope you found something today that will relieve your stress, feed your soul, and pump you up to face another day. At Boss Builders, we want to let you know that we appreciate the hard work you do every day as an HR professional. And as a reminder, always make sure to adjust your own oxygen mask before attempting to help those around you. Be well.